Good morning. So we're starting our summer playlist series, and my name is Kevin, if we've never met, and we're excited about this as a team, as we have a lot of volunteer teams across our campuses, and we're just blessed to have the worship arts ministry we have. And so we're going to talk about each song and look at the scriptures, where it comes from, the theology, as Becky said, each week, and hopefully these will be added to your summer playlists yourself. You can search these on Spotify or Apple Music as well. And before we get into today's song, I want to begin by asking you this question. Have you ever felt hopeless? I remember back my senior year of college, I graduated from Houghton College, or Houghton University is what it is, about an hour south of here. And just my senior year, I remember I had these three opportunities of ministry as I was just going to school for ministry, and I saw these, I was going to the youth ministry at the time, so I had these three different doors, and basically it's almost like God gave me a choice where I wanted to go. I could go here, here, or here, different context. And so I was super excited, very hopeful going into that year, as I knew that going into my senior year. And then around Easter break of my senior year, all of a sudden it seemed like all the doors, all three doors closed on each opportunity. And pretty much they just kind of fell off the table. We just hired somebody, or we can't afford somebody, or you know, it's not going to work out now, but we could do part-time, and that wasn't going to work for me. And so I went from being very hopeful to being very hopeless within a matter of 6 months. Here I thought I knew where I was going, what I was going to be doing, had a choice in it, and all of a sudden, everything just kind of stopped. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt hopeless? Maybe there was a situation, opportunity like me, that you had this new adventure you're going to, and the expectations that you had were not met. Or maybe you were in a relationship, and that relationship ended horribly. Whether a breakup or just a disagreement, you don't speak to each other, or maybe even someone passed away. Or maybe there was something else. Maybe you had you felt a deep pain because of some circumstance or scenario that played out differently than you anticipated. Or maybe you've experienced a hopelessness that's even far scarier, something that has been something that's been traumatic throughout your life, and you just find yourself resting in that place of hopelessness. Regardless of what your scenario is, I think all of us at one point in our lives will experience hopelessness. And it's so true and real for many of us. Maybe you're experiencing it this morning. Well, today, as I said, we're beginning a new series called Summer Playlist, and our prayer is that the scriptures that we study together that inspired some of the songs that are original to our church family will be encouragement to you, will give you hope as we see the scriptures and as we sing them together, that they would become a part of your playlist. You ever know the songs that are just always in your head, that they would be ringing in your mind the truth of God's word, not just this summer, but going forward as well. And so today's song is entitled, All Our Hope. And I want to just give you some of the lyrics of the chorus of this song where we are going to root our scripture today. It's actually going to be on the screens here. It says this. We've sung this before in the last couple of months. It says, O Lord, for yours is the way, the truth, and the life. Your way never fails. Your righteousness, life. All our hopes in you. Your truth will empower your people to rise and praise you with power and full of delight. All our hopes in you, all our hopes in you, Jesus. Now these lyrics are inspired by the passage of scripture found in John chapter 14. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there now. John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, beginning in verse 1. And as you're turning there, John 14, let me give you a little context. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's telling them, and he's told them even prior to this, that I'm going to be handed over to be crucified, but I will rise again after 3 days. He actually says this three times as he's with his disciples throughout the Gospels before it happened. And so I'm sure they're asking all these questions, and he says, I have to go away, but when I'll come back and I'll leave, my Holy Spirit will be with you. He talks about in John 14, 15, and 16, describing the Spirit of Jesus that will comfort them, that will counsel them, that will guide them as he is not physically present with them. And so this is the context of what Jesus is saying. Let's pick up in John 14, it'll be on the screens. It says this, and may it be hope for you just as it was for them in that day. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Right, so he's describing this scenario. He's, "I got to go. It's better for me to go," he even describes later, "because I'm going to come back and make all things new. But until that time, don't lose heart," is what he's saying. And then Thomas, in verse 5, one of Jesus' disciples, he responds. And Thomas is one of those guys who asks all the questions. But why? Or how? Or who? Or really? Like doubting Thomas. He says in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And then Jesus responds with maybe one of the most famous quotes he's ever said in the passage of Scripture. And this is where we get the lyrics for the song. One of the most profound statements he makes about himself. He says this. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So to summarize, verses 1 through 6, Jesus is sitting with his disciples and saying, "Guys, don't fear. Don't let your hearts be troubled. No matter what is happening in your life, and today, don't fear. No matter what is happening in your life, don't be troubled. Trust me. I am the way, the true lasting peace, and the source of hope in life. Hope not just now, but on into eternity," is really what Jesus was saying. And so in this powerful passage, if you're taking notes, there are three clear descriptions, and you may know this already, but let it impact you maybe in a deeper way today as we look through this and as we sing about this after the song, All Our Hope. He gives us three clear distinctions about himself. The first one is this. Jesus states that he is the way. He's the way. Now, how many of you, in your times of driving, have ever gotten lost in your car? Would you raise your hand? Just curious. Now, today, it's a lot easier to not get lost because of GPS, right? Because if you're going someplace, you kind of have an idea, just type it in. I even type in GPS for places I know how to get to, just so I can see where I'm going, what's the fastest route, is there construction? If you guys use Waze, it shows you where police cars are, so you're like, okay, I just want to make sure I know what's going on there. Don't use it as, I'm going to take that back. This is being recorded, though? Right, okay. But I use GPS when I don't even have to use GPS, just to kind of know when I'm going to get there. Well, those who remember what life was like before GPS, remember like the huge maps you had to fold out that you're driving and you have the map holding against the steering wheel and you got it covering the, it's like worse than texting and driving, like covering the windshield, trying to figure out where you are, or the atlases in your car on road trips or camping trips, like trying to figure out what road am I on? Where do I merge? Like it's just so much easier now. It wasn't always like it is today. It was easy to get lost. It was easy to be like, where am I? Which way do I go? And the argument of who's going to stop and ask for directions at that gas station or that place, right? You probably couples, you know what I'm talking about. There's the nudge of the husband or the wife to the spouse. It's easy for us to get lost, even just on the road, to know which way to go. What about in life? Have you ever felt like you were wandering through life with no direction? There's been so many people that I've come in contact over the 25 years of ministry that I've been doing where people are just looking for direction. They want to know the way. They often say, what is God's will for my life? I want to make the right choice when faced with a fork in the road, the decisions of life, major life choices. Which way do I go? What relationship do I choose? What job? All these scenarios, all these questions. In my college hopelessness, that senior year of college, I learned, not just in that last semester, but in that summer, in that fall, in my hopelessness, that Jesus' way was so much better than my way. The way that I thought would be best. In fact, it's a long story, I'll tell you about it later, but I ended up not going into a church ministry context where I went to school for. I ended up going into radio. I ended up being behind the glass. I was the production guy with a live teen call-in radio show host. And my job actually for a year was to help produce a live radio show, to take phone calls. And then actually one winter, there was such a bad snowstorm in Buffalo, this is a long time ago, that the host couldn't make it. And he called me up and said, "Kevin, can you just take over and host the show?" And I'm like, "What? It's in 15 minutes. He said, "Yeah, go ahead, you can do it." Ended up doing that and then began to be co-host and began to hear what stories, what God was doing, became the voice of Kingdom Bound for 1 year and got to meet all these artists and talk about, hear what God was doing around the country, not just in Western New York. And God was preparing me for something better than what I even had prepared for myself. And it was my training, it was my season of learning what it meant to understand and know his voice. In fact, part of my job as I worked second shift at night by myself was to listen to some of the best preachers in the world and to hear their messages that were usually about a half hour long. And my job was to listen to it and then summarize it down into about 30 seconds or 25 seconds. And I'd be the guy who says, tonight at 7 o'clock, you'll hear, tune into, and I'd say the radio station name. So it was like I got paid to listen to some of the best communicators to know how to preach and to know what it means to connect the truth with God's word to our everyday lives. And God knew what he was doing. Even in my hopelessness, his way was better. And today, many people believe that there are more than one way to God. They believe that if you're a good person, and as long as you don't kill anybody, you're going to go to heaven. That you can be Islam, you can be Buddhist, you can be Hindu, you can be a creationist, you can be a universalist. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you're a good person, you'll get to heaven. But that's just not true. Jesus in this passage says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus makes it crystal clear that salvation is found only through Jesus. He's the way. And this verse is a stumbling block for many people. Jesus is a stumbling block. They love Jesus and who he is and what he's about, but this passage, I am the way, no one comes to the Father except through me. And I believe people are afraid to accept Jesus as the only way to the Father because it brings about accountability. That people would rather live their own lives the way that they choose, doing what they want to do, the way they want to do it, without a sense of accountability. Because if you have to answer to someone, you have to answer to someone. But to me personally, that seems stressful. I'd rather have someone tell me, this is the way, here's how you get there. And Jesus makes it very clear. Rather than being vague or opaque, like he wants it to be crystal clear. I am the way. That's what it says in today's text. And then secondly, the second reason why Jesus is a stumbling block for people is because people say, well, it almost seems too narrow. How could there be only one way to God? That seems selfish or egotistical of God. Just one way? But through Jesus, the only way to God the Father, Jesus is wide enough for all of creation. In other words, all people have to do is put their faith and trust in Jesus. No one is excluded. No one is not welcome. All are welcome. And what's so selfish about that? He's saying, I'm the way. In fact, God the Father was so selfless that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, to take the punishment for the sins of the world. Jesus, who was without sin, he was perfect, lived a perfect life. He became sin, took on our sin for the entire world. And there are no requirements. There's nothing we could do to earn it. There's nothing we could do to gain God's favor. All we have to do is repent, to turn from our way of living. Repent means to turn around to say, Jesus, I follow you. I follow your way, what you did, your work on the cross. And by believing and trusting who he is, we gain life. And we find the way to the Father. We find what it means to be living lives who are eternal in heaven. So Jesus invites everyone. It's not exclusive. He invites you despite your heartaches. He invites you despite your past, despite your imperfections, despite your failures and your hopelessness, despite your doubts. This is an invitation for all to put their hope in him. So number one, Jesus says he is the way. Number two, Jesus says he is the truth. Today, we live in a world that it's very complicated. It's hard to know what is true. You want an example of that? Just turn on your television. Just watch the news. You'll see and hear different perspectives and opinions about the very same issues, all claiming to be true, but at the same time, all contradicting one another based on what network and who's behind the mic. And this becomes even more obvious during political seasons. What is true? See, when I look back at my life and the moments of hopelessness that I had, I felt hopeless because one of the major factors in that was that I couldn't identify what was true. One of the greatest ways that the enemy tries to pull us away from God is by whispering lies into our minds and into our hearts. And that we're not good enough, that we're not worthy enough, that we're not attractive enough, that we're not smart enough, that we're not successful enough, that we're not smart, strong enough, that we're not, you fill in the blank. It's when we start to believe these lies that we find ourselves filled with hopelessness. So the question I'm going to ask today is, how can we know what is true? Well, in this passage, Jesus is saying that he is the truth. He's not just the way, but he's the truth. Truth, don't miss this. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus. Truth is a person, and it's Jesus. We don't have to wonder if what Jesus says is true. Everything that Jesus said happened. He said, this is going to happen. It happened. He says, if you do this, it'll happen. He predicted and told his disciples concerning his own death and resurrection 3 times, and it happened. When Jesus says in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life, we can believe that. Why? Because he proved it by doing it himself first. He died, then they rose again and said, if you believe in me, the same thing will happen to you. If we can believe that Jesus says, what Jesus says is true, we know that what he will say is true for us today in our own lives and in how we live our lives. He has never lied. He has only ever spoken truth. And some of Jesus' most countercultural teachings, they can bring us so much hope. They're found in Matthew chapter 5. We call them the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, the world that we live in tells us that almost every individual that Jesus references here, every category, should experience hopelessness. But Jesus tells us just the opposite. We can believe every word that Jesus said because he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies about himself. Even people centuries before, what they said about him, it happened. He lived a perfect life, Jesus did. He fulfilled every promise he made, and he proved his authority by defeating death to say, this is why you can trust me. And so when Jesus says something, we can believe his words are true because he is truth. In other words, Jesus is trustworthy. And so when Jesus says those who are persecuted will be blessed, we can trust him. When Jesus says his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in our weakness, we can trust him. When Jesus says he didn't come to condemn the world but to save the world, we can trust him. And for these reasons, we can place our hope and our trust in him because he is true. He is truth. Jesus says he is the way. Jesus says he is the truth. And lastly, Jesus says he is the life. Now, life is such a massive, elusive, all-encompassing word. You ever stop and just think about life, your life, how you're spending your life, the purpose of life? Just this past week, I turned 45 years old. I'm feeling old, starting to realize I need to get cheaters, right? As I'm trying to read stuff, I gotta like zoom it out or get new things. I've had contacts forever, but I'm getting old. I don't know a lot, but one of the things I do know is life is full of ups and downs, right? We have good times and bad times. We have struggles. We have celebrations. There are challenges. There's heartaches. There's confusion. And many times, those struggles and those challenges, they can usher in a sense of feeling hopeless or feeling hopelessness. But it doesn't have to be like that. We could acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord, that he's our Savior, and we can find hope even in the midst of struggles and difficulties and heartache. A large part of what it is because of the eternal perspective we can have, that we can realize that our life is more than just what we see and know here and now. That there is an eternity, that Jesus himself said, I have to go to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back and I'm going to make things right when I come back. You read about in the book of Revelation how there's a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus himself will be the light. We won't even need the sun anymore. That he will be enough for us. That he will be a source of life. Jesus is stating that he is the life. Yes, we will face struggles, but these struggles are merely temporary issues that will not last into eternity. Think about the things that you used to think about when you were in middle school. What was the biggest stress and worry in middle school for you? Think about the things in high school. Man, I don't want to date again. I know that's one thing. Or prom, or all the preparations of those, no offense, high school, middle school students. But the struggles I had when I was younger are not the struggles that I have now. The struggles I have now are more complex. And they're related in different ways. But think that in terms of eternity, the things that we stress about and worry about now in relation to eternity. Scriptures tell us that this life is but a vapor compared to what that is like in time. So Jesus stated that he is the life and that he offers eternal life. The life that he offers is eternal. And then Jesus doesn't just give us eternal life and perspective about our struggles and our difficulties, but he also shows us what it means to live life now, eternal life that begins today. Jesus said, if you want to gain life, you lose it. In other words, if you want to experience the most blessed life, it's not about you. It's about other people. It's about saying, God, I want your will. It's loving God and loving others. Also, if you want to lose your life, you hold on to it. It's about what you want. He says, if you want to be great, what do? You serve others. If you want people to be have a genuine, real relationship with you and not always try to get something from you, he says, then give your life away. Serve other people. He says, if you want to be rich, truly rich, be generous with the things you have. Be willing to share with those around you. This is what it means to live true life, life to the full. And Jesus understands that on this earth we will face many difficulties, but he says again, in this world you will have trouble. Remember the beginning of the passage in John 14? But trust me, this is not the end all. I'm preparing a place for you. And he promised to be with us later in John 14, 15, and 16, that he'll be with us in the difficulties through the power of his Spirit to give us all that we need at just the right time as we navigate these days, because he is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And by having an eternal perspective about eternity and life with our Savior, our temporary issues don't have to define us anymore. They don't have to hold us back. In fact, they can strengthen our faith and draw us closer to God in our struggles, proving and providing a hope that surpasses all worldly comprehension. The Apostle Paul knew this as he wrote in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. It'll be on the screens. It says this. Not only so, but he says, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces, say it with me, hope. In other words, and he goes on, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What an incredible perspective and progression that Paul describes. In our sufferings, just as Christ went through sufferings, he didn't say, no, you won't do that. He says, just as I did, you will. Suffering is a part of life. But he will use those things, doesn't want us to go through suffering, but he'll use those things, the sin that ripples and affects other people that they've done to us or we've done to them, he'll use them to make us more like Christ, to give us perseverance, to give us character that's Christ-like, to then give us hope. It all leads to hope. With or without Jesus, we're going to face struggles in this life. Without Jesus, these struggles will and can define us and lead us into hopelessness and despair. But with Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit, Jesus, the source of life, the one who's the way, the one who's the truth, he walks with us through them all. And he does so they have the ability to strengthen us, to build character, and lead us into hope and life. Best of all, no matter what we go through on earth, like I said, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to time and eternity. The life we share with Jesus is eternal. That starts now, if we choose. Because of Jesus, we won't be shaken. These are lyrics in the song too. Because of Jesus, we won't be shaken. Because of Jesus, we won't be moved. Because of Jesus, we won't grow weary. Because of Jesus, we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can place our trust and our hope in him. So if you're looking for direction in your life, it's in a person. You're looking for a person. His name is Jesus. If you're looking for truth, truth is a person. His name is Jesus. If you're looking for life, life that begins now and goes on into eternity, true life is only found in the person of Jesus. And because of these things, we can have a hope in any and every situation we face, because all of our hope is in him, Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask, would you stand with me too? God, we thank you for the promise of your word. Jesus, thank you for your words that you are the way, the truth, and the life. What a bold statement. And that you say, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's not exclusive. That's actually very inclusive. It's clear and direct that there's no wish-washy direction here. It's like saying, this is how you want to get. This is what it means to go. This is what it means to be in line and what it means to be on the right path to heaven. We don't have to question that it's clear. And thank you, Jesus, that you don't just tell us. You walk through this, that you showed us what it means to live. You showed us what it means to have hope and to have suffering and perseverance and develop character and then to have hope even in the most bleak situations. And that just as you told your disciples, don't lose heart. Trust me. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So I pray for people here today. You know where they're at. May this song be a part of our life playlist. That we trust you because you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and you are our hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this song, All Our Hope.